In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit ManilaPR.com now.
That lass on Radio 4 who's sort of Charlotte Green, she's got nothing on me.
Do you look into their eyes, Ian, or is that too personal a question? Do you want to go into this?
What would you be shouting at the television screen, Ian Lennox?
I can't repeat that. Huh?
But there is a slight suggestion that next season might be better. So.
Let's hope so.
No one seems to get a penalty for pulling shirts nowadays, or hardly ever.
Or Seven Simple Seasons.
See what we did there? Yes, yes, like so. It.
Fly Me to the Moon, the audio podcast companion with Rob Nichols.
Brrr, brrr. No, it's not a telephone. I was actually attempting to warm up that. Never mind. It's all very important because if the game goes ahead, and as we actually produce this particular Fly Me to the Moon podcast companion to the Leeds United game, as we sit now a few hours beforehand, anything could happen, although we're assuming it is going ahead. And the fact of the matter is quite simple, Rob. A win for Middlesbrough and Sheffield United are nudged out of that sixth final promotion slot because Middlesbrough will have the better goal difference.
For the night.
For the night.
But that will put the pressure on, won't it?
Well, even actually, and arguably, not just better goal difference, but if other results didn't take place and Sheffield didn't play, Sheffield United's goal difference is plus +9, Middlesbrough's plus +12.
Right. Right.
That's the way things are panning out at present.
So it's an important game to play, really.
We're a bit away from Fulham, who are on 59 points.
Yeah.
7
it's
points
that,
ahead.
It's so that it's final spot,
points,
isn't it?
So
yeah.
Tenaciously one for that. Darn Sunderland and their unfeasible ways of actually coming back from 3-1 down.
Well, it
or
was
3-2 down.
3-2 down, yeah. It was
2-1 down.
Yes.
Why did they just not capitulate?
And going 1-0 up. Yes. No, we conceded soft goals. They obviously targeted Traore. The red card tackle on him was atrocious. And then the fans and the players really got to him, and he was sent off. I think we'd have come back. We'd have won easily because he was tearing them apart. And for the second time, a red card reversed. And it seems that we couldn't see very much photographic evidence, but it seemed that Oviedo used his international experience to poke Traore in the eye, and then when Traore lifted his arm, he went down as if he'd been poked in the eye himself. And it didn't help us in the game, but even so, we should have held on for that last corner. I've never been to a game, I don't think, where there's quite as much time added on. 8 minutes added on in the first half, seven in the second half. But Sunderland got their precious draw. We shouldn't have conceded those goals, especially the goals from set pieces. The sort of goals that we try to score under Tony Pulis, we've got to learn from that. We've got to shore up the defences again. But the good news was that we were scoring goals, wasn't it?
And Patrick Bamford too. So despite the fact that Gestede, we wish him well, obviously.
Yeah.
Gone, Patrick Bamford has taken his opportunity to step up to the mark. In the words of Tony Pulis, he stepped up to the mark.
Absolutely. I think it was British Sambalonga that was given the role, the chance to make that centre forward position his own. He looked a forlorn figure as he was taken off against Sunderland, but Bamford slotted in as target man and immediately looked at home, and it's obviously that the position he's been wanting to play all along.
One gets a feeling with Sambalonga that he was a lot happier with Gary Monk, because clearly he'd been signed under the Monk regime.
Yeah.
He was certainly scoring goals under the Monk regime. Mm. And somehow, whether it's a personality clash, I just don't get the feeling that Tony Pulis really kind of rates it. I'm not sure whether there's a message that's going to be... Sometimes, to use the classic line, players need to have the arm around the shoulder, the metaphorical arm around the shoulder, and I'm not sure. Or maybe it's just, you know, the fact £15 million is weighing heavily on his shoulders.
Yeah, we see with many strikers, even going back to the great Bernie Slaven, that if he went through a period when he wasn't scoring, it looks a different figure, looks completely forlorn. And even at the start of the season, when he was sticking the ball in the net, there were games. I remember away at Barnsley, where he looked appalling. He just looked totally out of touch. I remember talking to this person next to me, we've got to bring him off. Second later, ball's knocked over the top, he runs onto it and blasts it into the corner of the net. You think, well, I'm glad I'm not the manager.
Very true. Hats off to fans and friends who effectively helped clear the pitch for yesterday, because the official line is that Middlesbrough's home championship game with Leeds United set to go ahead following work to clear the Riverside's pitch and stands of snow. Actually, was it the fans? Because I know that Rotherham have actually used their fans to clear the pitch.
I think it was the staff, wasn't it? It was the football club. Right, yeah. Obviously, we got under soil heating as well. I guess the tactic is to leave the snow on to insulate. I'm not sure, but the
challenge, of course, will be not necessarily that the ground won't be in fit to play. It'll be the surrounding areas.
Think of
the Fly Me to the Moon sellers who are actually out there freezing their proverbials off to bring you the actual paper editions.
Think about subscribing.
You know, it's a lot easier on everybody from that point of view. Just a thought there. But yes, in terms of the whole sequence, we're assuming it's going to go ahead. Leeds. Again, it's last chance saloon as far as they're concerned. I don't really like to look at Leeds and so on, but they're currently sitting in 11th position.
Yeah.
49 points, so just 3 points behind Borough.
Yes, that's right. I thought they were further down than
also
that.
Also changed the manager.
Paul Heckingbottom, exactly. Coming from Barnsley, and we play Barnsley next week. Mm. He just signed a contract with him, hadn't he? Mm. And they coaxed him across. He has managed to inspire them to some extent. They made mid-table
mediocrity.
Yeah, made a big comeback against Bristol City, but Bristol City themselves have struggled.
I mean, Bristol City, as we said, they're now out of the playoff zone. They're in seventh position. They're just 2 points ahead of Borough with 54 points, versus 52. And sad, I'm a little sad. I mean, sad for Lee Johnson, because it seemed to be going so swimmingly early in the season, and clearly that phenomenal run in the Carabao Cup, which was rightfully ended by the eventual winners of the Carabao Cup.
All right.
in the semi-final over two legs. But even then, in the first leg, they were clearly a side that...
They feared no one.
And yet, somehow it just doesn't
seem to have taken its toll at those games at the critical point in the season. There's still enough time for them to recover, but there's going to be an awful lot of teams in the mix, you would think, going into that run-in of fixtures. Yeah, I think they were the surprise package anyway, weren't they? Along with Sheffield United.
And Sheffield United seem to be just beginning to get the wheels back on again, really.
Yeah.
Slowly but surely approaching that. We're going to speak about the remaining parts of the season, plus, of course, discussions around should we bring back the orange ball for various other sort of things. Plus, we'll find out a little bit more about it's not really our sister club, but our helper club, perhaps, what state of play Jeff Stelling's is actually in, because things are looking a little bit bleak A19 as far as the National League Hartlepool are actually concerned, and we'll talk a bit more about that, plus all sorts of goodies from the Fly Me to the Moon Leeds United edition, which is so popular we haven't even got a copy of the studio. That's the thing, just work for that. All that after this.
Hey, celebrate and rejoice, it's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or the fragrance for men.
Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium.
Hang on. Slow down. And one tablespoon.
Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, that's the recipe.
Oh, if you would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right,
or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondents from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Hi, this is Bernie Slavin and you're listening to Rob Nichols on Fly Me to the Moon.
Thank you, Bernie.
Yes.
Alex, I remember Bernie many years ago at away match at Cambridge United in the snow, and Bernie had been dropped to the bench, and he was like a figure in a tracksuit in a blizzard with his head down. He didn't take a part in the kick around at all before the match. He was just a winter figure.
Would that have been in the days of Lenny Lawrence, or was it?
Yes, it was Lenny Lawrence, and I think it was when was it John Beck that was manager of Cambridge, where they used to kick the ball into the corners, where the corners were sanded and the ball would drop.
Oh, those halcyon days, a bit like playing Rochdale, perhaps before they relayed the pitch, but still, never mind. Mm-hmm. We won't talk about VAR because it actually hasn't affected Burrows yet.
Not yet.
No, we haven't had any kind of controversial decisions or discussions on the basis of how long it should actually take to actually freeze to death. Whilst
it's a different game now, I think.
It is extraordinary. I mean, I still maintain that surely it would have actually added to interest if, rather like tennis, you had a finite number of challenges you could make. That each side you could actually make three particular challenges over a game, or maybe one each half, that you were limited to. And then fans could probably, but it's this notion of stop, start. And, of course, the fear, which I think is probably, well, I hope that it's unfounded, that if the fans, of course, were shown on the big screen what was actually happening, they'd just riot. Hopefully we haven't reached that stage, is it? You know, it's because unlike rugby and unlike other sort of team contact sports where it seems that the fans can be sensitive after crazy, you know, somehow with football we couldn't cope.
It's tricky, isn't it? We're starting to see goals disallowed that that are technically wrong, the wrong decision, but there was no way that anybody would have challenged them because there might have been an infringement in the box, but there could have been an infringement the other way just a few seconds earlier. We're sort of getting into all sorts of grey areas that we never envisaged.
News from the other scorer against Sunderland, of course, Grant Ledbetter.
Yes.
Scoring a penalty against the club he supports.
His hometown club, that's right,
Grant is out with a hamstring, I believe.
He's been struggling, so he's definitely out, is he?
That's the latest news.
I guess if you've got a hamstring, the last thing you want to do is to be attempting to play in this cold weather. Yeah, exactly. They could be out for the rest of the season, couldn't you?
Yeah. So, Leeds and Borough, historically bitter rivals.
Yes, indeed, definitely.
Since the Don Revie days and before, really.
Yeah, Don Revie and Middlesbrough man.
Yes.
Yeah, it was Don Revie and Jack Charlton at Middlesbrough as well.
Of course, for 44 days.
Yeah.
Glorious 44 days.
Another Middlesbrough man.
So, it'd be really interesting to see how things... I mean, clearly Gary Monk has moved on since last we played.
That's right. There was a lot of edge when we played at Elland Road. Obviously the Leeds fans very unhappy with Gary Monk walking out on Leeds at the end of that season.
And from purely this perspective, and indeed Curtis Fleming's perspective as well, and the whole sort of team really for that kind of things, it's one that's really Borough need 3 points.
I mean,
we could have actually done with 3 points against Sunderland. I mean, it goes without saying.
Definitely. I think the fact that we've got Traore, that we were looking at a 4-game ban for him, that's a major boost. As you've already said, the fact that Bamford came in and scored 2 goals, looks like a centre forward, that's another big plus point. And it's about time we beat Leeds again, isn't it? Very much about time.
And looking at the oft-discussed scenario, given the weather conditions that we are actually faced with, do you think a winter break's ever going to happen? I mean, they talk about February break now as opposed to...
For the Premier League,
exactly.
Did they play less games?
They play far less games than the Championship.
I was thinking that might
exactly.
be...
38 games in the Premier League, 46 in the Championship.
Interesting it should be February as well.
Mm.
Is that because of European... There's European ties. There's a European break, isn't there, over Christmas time? Obviously, English football is very much centred around the festive games. But wouldn't you have thought it would have been January that would have been?
Well, that was the traditional when the weather. Line.
I know. At the moment, we're seeing February, March cold snap. But how usual is that? I don't know.
Maybe it's just they actually just need a rest.
Yes.
And will the orange ball ever return? Probably not, really, with undersoiled heating, etc. There's no need, is there?
Well, we've seen blue lines, haven't we?
Yes, yeah. Let's talk Hartlepool, because they were very supportive back in 1986,
yeah.
Clearly, when Borough were in dire straits Absolutely. Financially, and the gates to Essen Park, as was often the case, had been locked, and a whole range of things were actually
yep.
there. And it is looking very... bleak.
It is indeed.
If you're a Hartlepool fan, if you're a Pool supporter, somehow the connections just don't seem to be...
Your heart goes out to them. The fact that they had a prospective rescue package a few weeks ago, but it couldn't go ahead because the current owners couldn't show the level of the debt, which is staggering, really. In other words, they haven't done the books. And this is exactly what they said they were going to do when they came in. As far as I understood, they were going to square off everything and make it so that it could be handed on to somebody else. It's gone into a terrible mess. You've got Jeff Stelling coming in saying he would be prepared to pay the wages for Ronnie Moore at the end of the season. Ronnie Moore was saying that he would love to do it. Matthew Bates came in, presumably. I was going to say that presumably they couldn't take on anybody from outside the club because they couldn't afford anybody else's wage. I'm not putting down Matthew Bates, but it seemed like it was it was something that was foisted upon him, and it's very difficult. He had to do the whole thing. I think Paul Jenkins, his assistant, has got problems. He couldn't be there, so he had to do everything himself. It's a very, very big ask. He was the man that was caretaker charge when they tried to stay in the league for those last couple of games, wasn't he? It's very, very difficult.
In terms of the, you can't even sort of say, oh, well, they're looking to bounce back, because if anything, they're looking to drop out of the National League as well at this stage. There's just a couple of points ahead of the relegation area.
They'll hate the comparison, but they're looking at doing a Darlington in many respects, aren't they? I suppose their only good point is that the council owns the ground, so the ground is going to be kept as a sports ground, and presumably they'll still be able to use that ground, but... at what level will it be playing? And well, it's very, very hard to see how it's
for the club that throughout the 20th century had the record of never actually having been dropped from the league and constantly being re-elected in the days when the league would re-elect clubs and so on, as opposed to promotion and relegation.
That's right.
Sad times.
Yes.
Okay, moving on. In terms of other grand events that Fly Me to the Moon is looking forward to, we're heading towards the Easter Spectacular. Is the prognosis... I mean, because it does seem as though... I mean, we were talking at the last Fly Me to the Moon about, are we avoiding mid-table mediocrity? We're now desperately looking for that sixth place. Is it a case of we need to dare to dream, the fans need to believe, that actually, you know, a 3-0 win against Leeds tonight and all will be looking a lot better?
Well, obviously, the Sunderland, that last minute in Sunderland, the last minutes of games have been very costly to us, because it was the last action that Rudy Gestede caught his foot in the turf and fractured his ankle in a freak injury. And then we lose. We don't defend well enough at Sunderland for that last corner. We've now got a few games that we've got, Leeds at home, Birmingham away, struggling desperately, aren't they, themselves, Barnsley at home. There's an opportunity there to get, well, Could we possibly get 9 points? We certainly should look to go unbeaten and win their two home games, and that will put us in a fairly strong position.
Do you think Stanley Stan's going to get a bit more optimistic? Because he's been quite depressing, really, over the last...
He's depressed, yes.
He seemed to be a lot brighter when he was actually serving in Afghanistan, really, as opposed to actually since he came back in terms of his...
He's out in Africa at the moment.
Oh,
that could be his problem,
exactly.
Yeah. I think he'd be very depressed if he flew home from Africa to the winter scenes.
Unless, of course, he was going to Kilimanjaro. I say the slopes of Kilimanjaro probably a similar kind of temperature, really, in many ways.
Okay, yeah.
and clearly our Sunderland University correspondent, Joe
Nicholson. Oh, yes,
Nicholson,
Joe Nicholson.
Who I think usually provides a very refrained and
he was very restrained last week because he couldn't get a home ticket. Well, couldn't get a Borough ticket, so he had to go in the away end. Obviously, he's got Sunderland University friends, but he had to keep his mouth closed.
That particular
match, no, I didn't know. That's right.
It happens. Okay. So overall, then we hope that's all we can do. We hope.
Yeah.
That's the classic thing. The season isn't over as yet. Hopefully by the time we actually get together for the next Fly Me to the Moon, which could be in a couple of weeks or so from now, it'll actually be sorted through. On the good news, we actually had a new recruit whose boyfriend is a massive Borough fan, whereas she has a Fulham fan.
No.
Yes, which is very, very
interesting
because I was sharing the sort of lines.
Fulham fan.
So, in fact, as opposed to actually doing random scenario here.
It'd be like playoff rivals.
Exactly. Hannah Thompson.
Right.
So there we are. Hannah might be joining us in a future Fly Me to the Moon.
Look forward to it.
She's very excited. She's taking a year out between sort of undergraduate work and various other things. So I said, would you like to sit in on Fly Me to the Moon, Hannah? She's very, very excited about
it. Oh, good, good. Imagine if we played Fulham in the playoffs.
It leads to a whole range of new sort of factors on that base, which is astonishing. How can people actually access the last few editions of...
I really hope that people will support us tonight if the match is on and look for a seller and manage to get your hand in your pocket because it's called
150 pennies. That's all you need.
Yeah.
150 pennies.
Have it ready because it's going to be quite cold for us. So that's first and foremost. If you could support us tonight at the match, that would be really appreciated because we're not going to be warm. And then beyond that, well, we've actually realised that there isn't a May edition, is there? Because we don't play in May unless we play in a playoff. So we're probably going to be looking at doing two games in April. Mm-hmm. So we'll put a price on the website, fmttm.com, how you can buy the two issues. Because it's obviously a bit late to be subscribing for two issues.
Yeah, and we'll be thinking about next season as well. And areas of that. Will it be Premiership? Will it be Championship? I suppose if you really pushed me and nailed me down, Robert, despite I've been very positive, I'm possibly thinking it's likely to be Championship next season.
Well, it's a slim possibility, isn't it?
It's a very tiny...
We have to get to Wembley. We have to get the playoff. We have to get to Wembley. And then we have to overcome our Wembley hoodoo.
So that's doable then.
Well, it's Tony Pulis. It's a whole different world.
Exactly as ever, the magic of the peaked cap.
Yes,
will sort of do or the baseball cap, really, not the peaked cap. It's from baseball cap. That's actually there.
And bright white trainers.
Precisely. So you can obviously access details online as well with respect to Fly Me to the Moon, and that's probably the easiest thing to go.
I think so.
Splendid. So all we need to do now is to say those final seven words to wrap up the sequence as we've just for a moment there, actually, had we all stand together come to her, I thought, no, go away.
Marching on together.
Exactly.
Shh, don't say that. No.
I just,
what are you thinking?
I think it's the cold.
I think it is the cold.
It's clearly snow brain.
It's
no joke, it's snow brain.
It's snow business.
And other sort of systems, which hopefully we'll be seeing in the National Press or the dailies after the successful defeat of those other people. They'll be wearing yellow, or will they be wearing white? Will they be wearing white or yellow?
Leeds.
Yes.
Hopefully they'll be wearing white and disappear into the background.
I thought exactly that was the key thing, unless of course they do camouflage, which would be a dreadful thing. So, okay, enough of such stuff. This has been Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast companion to the Leeds United game. Enjoy, and we'll say, come on, Borough.
And up the Borough.
Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song. Or the fragrance for men.